Thank you for sharing that. Good reminders. I want to start in Luke 14 in verse 15. Let's pray first. Father, we need bread from heaven, Lord. We want to be filled. Teach us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is the teacher. You can open up our eyes and our ears to hear. I pray, Lord God, we'd have a longing for you and a hunger and a thirst. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "There was a certain man who gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And to another he said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" What do you think those men were thinking when they got invited to this banquet to eat bread in the kingdom of God and they made excuses and didn't go? What do you think was going through their mind? I believe they thought that the things that they were going to do would satisfy more than that supper. More than the supper with Jesus. More than fellowship. More than eternal life. They were caught up with the things of the world that they believed would give them satisfaction. You see, every one of us in our heart, there is, when we're born, there is an emptiness that needs to be filled. And it needs to be filled with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with fellowship with the Father. But those who don't have that will go searching in this world and they won't stop to try and fill that void and that need that will never, ever satisfy. And you see, all those things that they were going to do were all, they weren't wicked things. They were, "Well, I bought some ground and I must go and see it." You know, people, we have jobs and businesses, and some of us might buy land and build or sell properties or different things. Then another one say, "Well, I have a yoke of oxen and I got to go test them." You know, if you have a farm, you have machinery, go test the machinery or the equipment. And another says, "Well, I married a wife. I can't come now." Very good thing. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I remember when I was younger, I thought, well, I hope Jesus doesn't come before I get married. Like, marriage is going to be better than Jesus coming. Completely misled. And many young people have their hearts so set on a relationship that they don't seek Jesus. They think the relationship will satisfy. And if that is where your emphasis is, when you get in that relationship, you realize that it doesn't satisfy. It's definitely a blessing in Christ. He who marries in Christ. If you don't marry in Christ, that means if you marry someone who doesn't love the Lord, there's going to be torment for the rest of your days. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be trouble. But what is the key? The key is coming to the supper that we've been invited to. Communing with Christ. I'm going to read a few verses and I'm going to kind of quickly read through them. Other verses that line up with The world does not satisfy. Proverbs 27:20. I don't know if you'll have time to turn to these verses, but Proverbs 27:20, it says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." You know, men know that we're very visual oriented. And when you're driving down the road and there's a woman walking down the side of the road, we have to consciously call on the Lord to not turn our eyes. And the flesh thinks that's going to satisfy. And it will satisfy the flesh for a moment. But then if you keep feeding that, it never is satisfied. And it wants more and more. And eventually will lead down a path of destruction, of lusting and pornography. Because the flesh is never satisfied. It says in Ecclesiastes 1:8, "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." So the eye will never be satisfied when you look at things of the world, nor will the ear. You know, it says like gossip can be like a tasty morsel. You want to hear it. You think it's going to satisfy. It says in Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Those who chase after money, material things. If I can just get that one thing, that will satisfy. Oh, you sure enjoy it for a time. But then that thing gets a little old and you get a little tired of it, and then you want something new. And so you're always chasing after the next fashion, the next style, the next vehicle that will satisfy. We cannot love money. Can't serve God and money, or God and mammon. You will love one and hate the other. You cannot, it's impossible to do it. Ecclesiastes 6:7, "All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied." Isaiah 55, verse 2, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." I'm going to turn to Ezekiel 16, verse 28. Let's look at this as a strong warning for us. So Jerusalem is playing the harlot. It says in Ezekiel 16, verse 28, let's start in verse 27. "Behold, therefore, I stretched out my hand against you, diminished your allotment, and gave you up to the will of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines, who were ashamed of your lewd behavior. You also played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were insatiable." I looked at that word. It's basically, you could not be satisfied. You could never be satisfied. So they played the harlot with the Assyrians. "Indeed, you played the harlot with them and still were not satisfied. Moreover, you multiplied your acts of harlotry as far as the land of the trader, Chaldea. And even then, you were not satisfied. How degenerate is your heart, says the Lord God, seeing you do all these things, the deeds of a brazen harlot." It's just a good example of, once you go down that path of just feeding on the world, you think is going to satisfy. You know, there's a warning in the New Testament. One of Paul's co-workers, his name was Demas. And I think it's in 2 Timothy. I wrote down somewhere here along all the scribble. 2 Timothy 4:10. It says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." In a couple other spots, he says, you know, Demas greet you. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, they greet you. They were fellow workers with Paul. And then later on, it says Demas, you know, in 2 Timothy 4, one of the later letters Paul wrote, he loved this present world. He's forsaken me. That's what can happen when our eyes get set on the things of this world. You know, it talks about in 1 John chapter 2. It says in verse 15, I think I read this last 2 weeks ago, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world." And verse 17 is, "The world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Do we live that way? That the world is passing away and the lust of it? Or are we living for the world? We don't realize it's passing away. He who does the will of God abides forever. So let's get to the good part. Paul, can you tee up the little video there? How can we be satisfied? How can we fill the need that we have for Jesus Christ or for something? It has to be Jesus. I'm going to read a psalm, Psalm 81. I don't know if I'll read the full thing before Paul plays this. Actually, do you have it ready there? Yeah, let me play that first. Just a short 20-second. Nature speaking here. I'm going to read Psalm 81 and see if you can find the verse that I'm referring to, that picture there. "Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute of Israel, a law of God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony, when he went through the land of Egypt, when I heard a language I did not understand. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble, and I delivered you, and I answered you in the secret place. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would have listened to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them with the finest of wheat, and he would give them honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you." Can anyone figure out what verse I'm talking about there? What's that? It's verse 10. "Open your mouth wide. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." I'm pretty sure he's referring to the birds there, the little baby birds. Those are helpless little ravens or whatever those animals were, those birds, whatever type of bird they were. All you can see is they're helpless. They cannot fly. They cannot do anything for themselves. They cannot feed themselves. All they can do is open their mouth and cry. That's all they can do. When we realize that, when we have that, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." When we open our mouth and we cry out, we will be filled. When we cry out for his presence, you know, it says there, it says right before it, that verse in verse 9, "There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god." They thought that these gods would satisfy. They thought that the things of the world would satisfy. But it never did. But he would have fed them with the finest of wheat and given them honey from the rock. Let's look at Psalm 63. I think it'll be my closing passage with a couple other short ones, but Psalm 63 is a psalm of David as he's fleeing from Saul and he's hiding in the wilderness. I'm always encouraged by David, and when you're running away and fleeing, you could be filled with fear and just hopelessness, but he's filled with a song and he cries out to the Lord. Psalm 63, and I think we're going to see a nice recipe for being satisfied. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. I'm going to kind of stop after each point here. Number one, early will I seek you. How to be satisfied? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek him early. Seek him first and foremost in your life. Number two, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Become poor and needy. Humility. Thirst for God. Thirst for Jesus Christ. And long for him. Don't long for the things of the world. If you long for those things, if you keep pushing that way, he'll give you over to the desires of your heart. He'll give you over to that. But seek for the Lord and long for him, knowing that only he can satisfy. Nothing else can. Verse 2, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. What I see there is, he's going into the sanctuary. He is finding fellowship. A picture of the church and coming together and seeking the Lord together, hearing his word and being encouraged in the word and praising his name and not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, like it says in Hebrews, but getting that fellowship that's so important. Verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. He recognized that the loving kindness of God, to experience that, like it says in a Psalm 16:11, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He recognized that the loving kindness of God is better than anything else in this life. Therefore, my lips will praise you and bless your holy name. I will bless you while I live, and I will lift up my hands in your name. So when you come that way, when you seek him and thirst for him and long for him, look for him in the sanctuary and come to be encouraged and to hear the word of God and recognize that nothing in this life is going to satisfy, but only his loving kindness is better. Then what's the response? You're going to praise the Lord. You give thanks and praise. And then in verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. That's a really good step by step. That's how you become satisfied. Young people, children, if you're trying to seek other things to be satisfied, whether it's the latest fashions or some new thing or some, when you're 16, some new car, some shiny thing, it's not going to satisfy. It's going to be only when you find and seek for Jesus. Seek for his presence. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9 says, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. This is Psalm 107, 8 and 9. His wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. That's encouraging. He will always satisfy the longing soul. He will not leave you empty. Jesus says, I will come to you. He said, to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to satisfy you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. It's going to become a well of life springing up out of your innermost being. It's going to flow and be able to satisfy others. It will not only satisfy you, but also others as you become refreshing to others and a testimony. He's going to satisfy the hungry and the longing soul with goodness, with good things. We know that every good thing comes from the Father of lights, the Father above. John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That is the ultimate who can satisfy. Jesus. He's the bread of life. Come to him. Don't go to any other thing. Don't go to a new yoke oxen. Don't go to the new land you bought. And don't go to a wife or a husband to try and find satisfaction. Go to Jesus, and you'll never thirst again. Amen.